longer. Oh yeah.
Tu tanadren poile pauti maka poitana. Kalzan mucha marli urkana. Te coro te maca son sana de sacratic tu jin sopna sopna ye lagi lagi moran maca apoitai vengin toru nuru nu meditai montai mando mogo kaltai tu coro
oh yeah
ah legend mundo jiu ho khat khatta bian he kalis mujhe dhad dhadta chinta sopan mujhe chali zalya puro Despacito, quiero respirar tu pelo despacito. Calza bita con su miela tu soporto. Mogo mozo coro re nejo corto. Despacito, quiero respirar tu pelo despacito. Calza bita con su miela tu soporto. Mogo mozo coro re nejo corto.
Shupi shubab, shupi shubab.
Yore yore mo.
Angel baby girl, my heart is saying you're my love. Mujhe har ye sapna dun se go. Tu na chal mujhe jeene ma ka tu se kaise na ka. Tu na chal mujhe jeene ma ka jeene dekhi na ka. Tu na chal jeene jiyo ka chakit sang haway. Jago 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 kata kushin sang len zar se tuve. Tujhe mugar utrani sango ko ma ka zaina. Un bagara tujhe bina dusri aasha kaina. Oh sweet oh, wake mujhe zago. Muna na ka na go. Kali zata pito. Hatu tu za darta. Ake puriyan zalta. Jeene pora rauta za. Sweeto, sweeto, wake mujhe zago, munna na kanago, kali zata pito, hatu tuzo garta, akhe punya salta, jine pore rauta, zaunga sada tuzo, oh yeah.
Despacito, quiero respirar tu pelo despacito, calza bita con su miela tu soporto, mogo muzo coro re nejo corto. Despacito, quiero respirar tu pelo despacito, calza bita con su miela tu soporto.
Bring it down one more time.
Yore yore moga rako na ta sada stuka. Tujhe skorun ghere maka. Dusro koni naka naka.
Tu mujhe hug do baby.
Hatan thaat ghe un sadya e gurje chi alta. Diya e ka meka kuta. Sare mujhe lagi kaza. Despacito. Quiero respirar tu cuello despacito. Calza bitter con su niela tu zafoto. Mogo mozo coro re nejo corto.
Yeah!
Osito, osito, wake mucho saco. Muna na canago, cali zata pito.
Your first home, right?
Yes, I did.
How difficult was it?
Difficult?
Why would it be difficult? Didn't you say you only had 10% deposit for your house?
10% is enough if Mortgage Masters is helping you with home loan.
Mortgage Masters can also help you with refinance or with any rental and commercial property related question. Contact Nathan Saminathan now, a certified financial planner and authorized financial advisor with over 30 years of experience in New Zealand. Call now on 0800-630-7171. Address 619 Dominion Road, Mount Eden. Or visit mortgagemasters.co.
Oh, Hector, tumka swagat karta aicha susega danpar radio programmer. Aaj mujhe sangata asa Richie.
Kosai Rector.
Oh, bara asa. Tukasa.
Oh, first class.
Amir Bonamis.
Hello, hello.
Lizanne Gomes.
Hi, everyone.
And I'm your guest, Saminathan from Mortgage Masters.
Hi.
To chat with us now, we're going to have a nice chat with us, with all of us, about financial planning, mortgages, and retirement planning. Welcome to our program, Nathan, or how would you prefer to be called?
I prefer to call Nathan.
Okay. Okay, you. Nathan. Yeah. So, today's program is all about mortgages, Richie?
Well, it is more than mortgages, I would say. It's going back to asking, what's all this financial planning, you know? Everybody talks about financial planning. Yeah. And then budgeting and goals. And when we tell this to our children, they say, come on, Dad, we know how much to spend. So I thought it is very nice to have Nathan, who's got more than 30 years of experience. Yeah. And Baptist was quite gracious in getting Nathan agree to come on our radio program. Yeah. And we have these two lovely young people from our community, Amir and Lizanne, you know. Just short notice, just very, send a text. Yeah. And
it's really good.
So we're really impressed.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
So, Nathan, can you tell us something about yourself first?
Thank you, actor. You talk about me, and I've been to New Zealand about 1979. I came here as a student to study here at Massey University. I was born and brought up in Malaysia, and I was working in a banking for 3 years by that time. My early childhood in Malaysia and part of my education went to India as well. And I did study at Annamalai University in Tamil Nadu. I did a Bachelor of Science in Chemistry. Then I got a job in banking, so I decided to change my career path. Then came to study an MBA at Massey University.
Okay. When was that? That was 79, you
79 said. I came, yeah. It was the MBA, just introduced program at Massey University at point of time. Yeah. And then I finished in 1981, and then went back to Malaysia for a while, worked in the money market, banking, and its own business, and came back in 1987.
1987.
Yeah,
just when the market crashed, huh?
That's the time the market crashed. Yes, New Zealand at that much time. I think worldwide going a problem.
Yes.
It is just a very somber mood. A lot of people with a lot of money. And yeah, it's quite an interesting period to look at coming back at the bottom of the market. Yeah.
So did you come back to New Zealand in 1987 and start your...
Yeah, and then start again. And I worked in a hotel for a while. Pick up bills and pay my bills. Then I went into working in an insurance company for a while. And then I did my diploma in financial planning in 94-95. Then went into financial planning. I went into mortgage in 1997.
Okay.
Then I never looked back.
Right. So at that time, was it very difficult to establish yourself as a financial planner? Was it accepted in the community, or was it
I wouldn't say it's quite a difficult time, and you come from different background, you don't know many people in the market as well. And our Indian community just moving into New Zealand, and more Indians established as well. So over the period of time you tend to meet more people, and everybody came into New Zealand, start establishing, buying house and settling down and earning money and looking for a job. It was a hard time, even 97, 98. If you look back, even 87, there are not many Indians in New Zealand at that point of time, not many at all. And over that period of time, then the immigration opened up by the Labour government, more Indian came into the country. They established, along with that, people like us was able to do quite a good business as well, mm-hmm. helping our Indian community as well.
Okay.
Yep.
So, Nathan, financial planning calls for a very disciplined approach. Firstly, you know, you have to write your plan down and then you have to live it.
Yeah.
What is the significance of writing down a plan? Why is it important to have one in the first place? I mean, our Indian parents, they are quite careful and frugal when they spend. What's the difference with having a plan?
A good question asked, Amir. When you everything in mind, you always change things. If in writing, you know your direction is quite clear, see? When you start writing, then you could plus and minus, and set your own goal, what you really want to achieve. Any plan you do that, it should be achievable within your means. And also have a short-term plan and a long-term plan. Whenever think that you do buying grocery, everything, short holiday, is a short-term plan.
Sure.
If you think about retirement, some might say, I'm young, why should I plan retirement? The earlier you start, a lot easier to work, you know. Even your journey start much earlier, you don't rush through the journey, right?
Most
you can
definitely.
Slowly move along the line. It's important. When you start planning and what you want to goal, the long-term and short-term goal, then and segregate each other. In the short-term, I want to buy a house. What I need to do? Then you start saving your plan, the time, saving and towards the goal. Say, you have to talk to any financial planner, sit down and talk. This is what I want to. Then my turnaround is, okay, you want to buy a house, this is what you should do then. One is, in those days, there's no Kiwi Saver. Kiwi Saver just started off, and its own saving, and also your income details, all to be done. And, okay, I'm going to buy a house, this is what I want to do then. And look at your family and children, whether their requirement also must met, and a holiday plan, all must incorporate in the short-term plan. And then long-term plan. Once you bought a house, that was a saving of money. The long-term plan is to pay back the loan over a period of time. That's why we do that, yeah.
Most so, definitely. I mean, obviously you can see that a mortgage is a contract you make over a very long time. Mm-hmm. Now that you've written your plan and you've written your short-term and long-term goals, how often do you review that plan?
Every plan needs to be reviewed. Otherwise, you get into the whole habit. You know, the habit that comes to what you practice, see? Even a written plan, you put away in a closet, you don't look at it, it goes through over the period of time, you forget about it, you go back to old habit. Every plan should review it, and also re-emphasizing, you should have an auto-mind system and work within yourself. Even you're looking at it, okay, this is what I want to do that, see? And people achieve great length, the auto-mind works very well. People don't have auto-mind, they mean keep telling yourself what you want to do that, and they are the high achievers. The low achievers, they have a plan written somewhere, occasionally look at it, and they forget about it, and the whole habit creeps into you, and back to again, always spending money.
Exactly.
Very important part is that you have to think yourself what you want to do that, and stay on the plan. Every plan what you to do, yeah, may change taking place as well, because circumstances change over a period of time, then readjust to that adjustment. You know, alignment to your current, but your main focus remain where your focus is very important. So you can't be too rigid in your planning.
Yeah, and I think it's really important that you talked about looking back on your plan and readjusting. So just in regards to looking back at what's to be readjusted, what are some common things that people need to be aware of when they want to readjust their plan?
Okay, but most important, a lot of distraction comes along. Some of the expenditure, you may not assume that you're not adjusted for that. Some of the income may not be there, what you just know. You may lose a job, or some of the unexpected expenditure come along. Then you make adjustment to that. Mm-hmm. Then come back to main focus again. Whatever you make some adjustment, come back to main focus again. But put it this way, you know, the Kiwi Saver is working very well now. Mm-hmm. People are relying on too much Kiwi Saver, nothing wrong with that. At least they stay on. Some people are trying to draw the money out various reasons. Then back again track. These days I see people having under 1,000 Kiwi Saver quite easily over the period of time saved money, you know. Mm-hmm. And okay. I look at people like yourself, you start Kiwi Saver very early on, by the time 65, 70, you got $1 million. It could be more. Because what happened here, saving alone is not, but also reinvest the money. What I preach to my client is that the two ways you can earn money, make a living life. One, you must work hard, earn money, and put the money to work for you. When the money starts working for you, it's never stop it. Exponentially create more wealth. The other thing I'm looking at the various type of investment. If you look at financial planning, it's very new about 95, 96, when the invent of the technology, email, all that came along. Before that, it's all handwritten, and it's very hard. Then entire financial planning industry changed way managed fund. We don't hear much managed fund word anymore. You know, investment, diversification, all that, it's all buzzword. People really confused in those days. But a younger generation, more better understanding. I do research the other day, the literacy rate, about 61% in New Zealand are literacy rate. We are among 11th among the world ranking in term understanding financial planning. Mm-hmm. The Norway number one, Denmark number two, Australia just ahead of us over 9, USA 14. We're not that bad. Mm-hmm. I think about 10, 5, 6 years ago, the government started thinking whether we can teach our children literacy rate, start from the beginning. I think there's a lot of schools are doing that as well.
Is it?
Teaching children, saving, investment. Most people know how to earn money, but they know how to spend the money. Mm-hmm. They don't put away for tomorrow. I'm sure we can go back to my olden day. I'm thinking back to in India. I lived for 5-6 years. Whenever grandmother started cooking some rice, she put one handful of rice away.
I see.
You know? And the end of the month, the whole family could again rise without additional rice.
Okay.
If them and grandmother have the financial planning, the saving plan they have, right?
In a very practical way.
Yeah. So we all can do that. Whatever earn in the money, put away, work it up. And most people, what they do, they earn money and spend it. Anything left over, they're trying to save money. If not, they're going to overdraft facility. Mm. Yeah, you can't live on OD facility the rest of your life. I know I come across client earning about $100,000, $150,000, $200. They're no saving. They always come back and top up loan. I said, it shouldn't be. You're earning quite a bit of money. You only one child. Where the money going? No answer from there.
So are these clients of yours, or is it as what Lizanne was asking, is that they don't review their plan, or they have too many discretionary spending activities?
Yes, very, very. That's right. What happened, as I remember, I said a habit. The bad habit always creeps in. You can tell them what you can tell them. Yeah, come back a year later, they still end up in a bad habit.
So tell us two tips. Give us two tips. Is that what you should do to keep looking at your plan again and again? And what you should do to close your fist when it comes to discretionary spending. Mm. So what are the two things from your experience of the last 30 years as an advice that you would ask people to do? I know many retirees or those who are quite old and don't have any work, they constantly look at their passbook or their bank statements every week to see how much is still lying in the bank. So one way of reviewing your position as such. But for the youngsters, and today in the digitalized world, what are the two tips that you give?
For the youngsters, if you want, the most important part of the goal setting, they have to stick on goal setting. Doesn't matter what's the digression they go through, it's the goal setting. The people have, over the years, because they don't look at the goal setting very often, they handle the bad habit as well. The bad habits of one, people are not progressing, in my view. And secondly, the tips to save whatever money earned, put away some money away every month. Doesn't matter. Don't touch that money at all. Put away, don't make it to the main account, and don't even touch it. People go back and dip the money again. That's a bad habit comes in. Best thing to put away, don't touch it. And that is my long-term saving goal. I don't touch it. Whatever I have today, this is what I'm going to spend. And do the budgeting every month and look at, review the budget again. And go back, what actually spent? Look at your bank statement, bank account, where the money going. Trying to close all the loopholes where the money, outgoing money. The income is standard. If you are a wage earner, you have a regular income, that's all coming in, no? Where you can control is outgoing expenses. But look at outgoing expenses. Am I spending those things? Is it necessary or not? You may impulse buy. You go to a shopping center. Don't buy things that you want to buy. You sometimes may not use it all. Ask yourself a question. Do I need this one? Do I need 3 shirts or not now? One shirt, fine. If I do 2 shirts, one shirt, fine. You always ask yourself, do I need? One is, I want it or need? Need is the most critical part. One thing is, always can avoid it. Next month, have it. Need means you must have that one. Some work to be done or requirement. One thing, put away.
So what you're saying is that first understand the word want and need.
Yes.
And keep asking this every now and then.
Yeah.
But my question to the youth here is that, you know, would you like to live your life by looking at your purse strings, or would you like to live a life a bit more easy?
I think that's a good question. It has to be quite balanced. I mean, obviously, you don't want to have to restrict yourself, but it's like dieting. For example, you do have to control yourself and look at the big picture, because you want to reach a goal at the end. If you keep on, you know, letting go and buying things that you don't need, you're obviously not going to reach that. So, I mean, I think it's an unnecessary evil, but, I mean, it's a good, obviously not an evil, but you've got to do it. It's something you've got to do if you're realistic.
Yeah, you're right. Youth is not a permanent anyone. It's just passing cloud. In young age, you must enjoy life as well. Two things, enjoy love, indulgence. Two things you have to be very, very careful with it. Enjoy love, don't indulge in things. When indulge, that's where the more cost comes along. Enjoy life, normal thing you do every day in life, you know. What I tell my client, most client earning about $60,000, and they're earning suddenly $70,000, $80,000, what they do, they increase their lifestyle. That's a big mistake we all do. What do you do today, happy life with the income? When the income goes up, put that money for savings. What they do, they increase the lifestyle. Now I have a Toyota, now a BMW. And go on up and up and up. That's where the most mistake occurs.
And so with regards to looking at how you talked about making your money work for you and putting into investment, so savings one way. So what do you think about investing into other ways that can generate cash flow?
Very important. The most important, saving in a bank is a bad way of doing it. But it is only just stopgap measure. Mm. Then divert that money in the right form of investment.
Yes.
So, see, if you put in a bank asking 3.4% interest, right? And then tax away, you get about 2%. Inflation, too. What do you earn? Nothing. Because real rate of return after inflation, minus.
Yep.
Unless divert the money in the right form of investment. Investment you can do by share market. You need more knowledge on that. You may lose and make money. Or you can buy gold. Gold is one of the worst investment can ever do that. Don't ever invest in gold.
What's a gold, sorry?
Gold.
Gold.
Oh, gold. Yes.
Yeah, gold.
Yes.
Not gold. Gold.
Yes.
Very careful with that. And the other thing is that metal, house, property, and those kind of investment. And I find over the New Zealand, property is one of the best investment I come across. Because even if you put $50,000 initial deposit to buy a house, they're only $500,000 property buy, you only put 10% deposit, right?
Yeah.
If the property appreciate even 5% increase in the value, you make $25,000. What is your real investment? Only $50,000. Your 50 becomes $75,000. You put the same money in the bank. That's what I tell my. If you put the same money in the bank, probably make it about $1,000 in a year. Would you like to make $1,000 or $25,000? That's how you work. You start work, let the money work for yourself. When the money works for yourself, even say you got $1 million property increase value 10%, it's about $100,000, right? If you earn $70,000 income, so the 10% increase will more than money that you ever earned. It's a tax-free money. That's what you start thinking about it in the long term.
And so with regards to being a young person who's just starting out on their, like, maybe 50K salary, I assume investing in a property might not be the best step.
That would be diversifying
your investment into shares. Would that be?
Share is a very critical part of it because you know what share you're buying it over a period of time and you need to work. I encourage a lot of people, go in a small scale. Say about $5,000 or $10,000, play around the share market, whether you want to make money or not. See, even if you lose, if you don't take a risk of investing, you're not going to learn anything out of any market. No? Property quite different. Then you can share in readily available market. No? Some of the people have done very well in share market over the period of time, or you can join the group of people or the associate, what called share market association, they can teach you how to do that. Or you can use a managed fund who invest in the share market.
Mm.
That one way of doing it, see? Apart from that, then you start saving some money for future, slowly, slowly build up your capital property. You can use the dad's income or family income, joint together. That's what I do these days. If the son can't buy the property on income, I bring the mother and father, put them together, buy house, and leave them for a while, 3-4 years, and the children income increase over a period of time, and then I disconnect from them. Now on your own, look after yourself.
Mm.
That way, they can able to progress in the current market situation.
So on that note, Nathan, let's listen to a song, okay? What happens when you go from the age of 20? So when you move from the age of 20, which in Konkani is called Vis Varsanza Leo Pranta Kitenzata.
La 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 la. La 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 la
on zata kavaru Visho forta la vodaru Oche forta patiru Viswo sancha prairu Lan pon zata kavaru Visho forta la vodaru Oche forta patiru Tomor moti tar 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 chitna tar tar Sopna nakazal shikna Sancha prairi lan pon sada kavari misho porta la vontade voce porta parire
Right here in Auckland, Everest Coffee use the highest quality Arabica AA coffee beans, giving you an elite blend of taste and strength. Treat yourself to the Wonder Coffee Bean. Enjoy Everest Coffee. It's for the discerning coffee palate. Everest Coffee. It's coffee at its peak. Available now at New World or buy online at everestcoffee.co.nz.
Welcome back to our Konkani program, Sushegad Dhanpar, and we are in discussion with Nathan Saminathan. Amir and Liz are quizzing him about what our budgets, what our financial planning, and of course we have expert advice also from Hector. This program is sponsored by Everest Coffee. They are shortly going to launch a new product, an imported freeze-dry coffee from India, which will be available online in Indian stores near you. The brand name of that coffee is Aristo. It will be in 100 gram jars and 90 gram refill packs. The launch date is 10th of October. We are also happy to have Nathan here because he's also one of our sponsors and promotes our program. Well, Lizanne, you had a question during the break.
Yeah, just with regards to our investments and stuff. So what are some significant things when it comes to making goals, financial goals?
Okay. When you make a financial goal, you must crystal clear what you want to achieve in life. Mm-hmm. That's the important part of it, you know. Of course, in personal life, there come to the two life, one financial life and personal life. Both must work in hand in hand. If you don't have personal life, it's not very well balanced with your financial life, then you always have a difficult time. And I've come across, you know, both must on men. One is complement each other. Come to financial goal, you're very clear what you want to achieve. Most simple, sit down, take a notebook, ask yourself what I want to do in the future. And whatever comes in your mind, write as much as you can, eliminate which is possible, not possible. And then divide among that the short-term goal and long-term goal. The short-term goal may be holiday, visiting family, or save money for whatever requirement, no? The long-term goal may be requirement, okay, in the future, I want to buy a house. If I want to buy a house, what I need to do? Okay, what I need to save some money. Okay, how much money I can save, then put away. And then the budgeting comes along. Budgeting, looking at what my expenditure I can do, what I can't do, then write down and put away some money for saving for the buy house. And then look at what how much I can really need to buy a house, maybe about 100, maybe $500, $600. This can vary as well, because when you start buying a house, house prices have gone up as well. You make provision for that. Okay, if I can't achieve it, can I bring my mom and dad, my brother, buy along with that? There are people I've come across, brother, two brothers and sisters join together, purchase the property. Look at your brother and somebody else working with you. Yeah, I can bring them into buy a house. Ask my mom and dad, can you lend me another gifting, another $20,000, $30,000? Or use security as well. These are things you have to think about what you want to do there. Maybe you can postpone your long-term goal for maybe 1 or 2 years. Let me do this one first. I come to that. Keep eye on the long-term and short-term all the time. The good thing to do, go back and read and review and personify that goals into your mind all the time. When it comes, you're a strong person to achieve it. Sometimes we call that person very strong mind. Some are weak mind. We all are weak-minded people. Make the mind, keep repeating what you want, do that, and that become very strong and become, keep on, your auto mind keep telling you, I want to do this, I want to do that. Mm-hmm. If you come that, achieve that level, your success comes along with it.
Yeah, and I think that's a really good, it's really important to take into account finding a balance between being strong-minded and also being flexible with regards to the current financial climate within New Zealand. And so with regards to your knowledge on what New Zealand is like at the moment, what's some advice you would give in terms of being flexible? Like, what should we take into account at this point in time when building our goals or when being flexible?
When you say flexible, you got to be flexible within the limit as well. Very important. Come and say, I'm flexible. You got extremely flexible. Doesn't really help anyone, right?
Mm, yes.
Even young people, no? The limit within the limit, you have a flexible in thinking, okay. Remember I was saying that some goals cannot be achieved today. I'll achieve it tomorrow. Mm. That is just flexibility in thinking, you know. Let me do this thing I want to do first. Then I do that first, and then I come back. You can't put rigid together. I must achieve that at expense of this. You can't do that. Left have achieve one part of it, and then the goal, the distant goal, should be in the mind always there. If you take the focus from the distant goal mind, that's long term, and then you focus on short term goal all the time, that's where disaster going to come along. Mm. You know.
I think, Lizanne, one of the aspects which you mentioned is that in New Zealand, what we need to do. So I would rather say for every youngster, most of them have got student loans.
Yes.
So your key goal should be, how do I reduce that debt before I go on to bigger things?
Would it be, though? Because considering our student loan is interest-free, that's something that we can make sure that we take into account with our income, and then that's a goal that's continually being fulfilled in the background, right?
Yeah, you're right. See, what happened here, the student loan automatically goes away from your income, right?
Yes.
You shouldn't pay too much attention. You know, if, as long as the salary comes, it goes, and it's diminished over the period of time, right?
Yes.
On two goals, the short, the long-term goal brings more money. The short-term goal, it's wiped out by itself.
Yes.
You know, whatever debt you have, you know. Mm-hmm. You always look at a bigger picture. A lot of us look at a smaller picture.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at a bigger picture, the small thing will eliminate by itself.
Mm-hmm.
If you focus on small thing, the bigger picture will come really mold you.
Yep.
Always looking at a bigger goal,
mm-hmm.
what you want to achieve. The little thing, but take care by itself. Remember, people say, you know, look at the bigger thing, the small thing take care by itself.
Yeah.
Ever heard about that?
Yes, yes.
A lot of us looking at the smaller thing, change your mind, have a bigger picture, the small one go by itself.
Yeah, and I think what Richard was trying to touch on is, what are some New Zealand specific aspects that we need to be aware of when building our goals.
What did you say? Very correct. If you got a student loan, be mindful, make sure your salary pay by itself.
Yes.
But, you know, because the interest is slightly, there are provision where government waives certain thing. Look into that as well. See, yeah.
So I was just going to ask you, Nathan. One really important thing you mentioned was, obviously, you have to prioritize. You know, how you achieve your goal and what you're going to pay. For someone in a hard position, you know, for someone who's starting up in the workplace, or they've lost your job, or they're in a tight financial position, with things like people with credit card debt, people have a mortgage, and with KiwiSaver, how would you prioritize where you put your money first for someone in a hard place?
If you're stuck with a financial problem like a credit card and stuff like that, then you have to go back and rework your budgeting. Very important. Where did I go wrong? If you don't know where you went wrong, very hard to rectify those mistakes. You can't keep on doing one mistake after another mistake. At that point in time, I either come and people like a CS sit down, hey, this is what happened, what should I do? They're always helping hand. If you want to do on your own, then work out a budget. Okay, I want to pay the minimum payment. Put a credit card away. Credit card can be dangerous. I know people have an $85,000 credit card outstanding, you know. That's too dangerous, you know. It's a point of no return. Then we have to go back, rework again, and try to pay all the debts. What people come in those situations, if they have a property, then we loan consolidation, clear all the debts. We keep monitoring everyone near 2 years. Are we progressing? And that way, we can teach them how to save money and pay in those debts. And go back and look, what did you do that end up in that situation? If you don't analyze yourself, there's no room for rectify. You keep too deep, very hard to come back.
So what you're saying, Nathan, is deleveraging is what they call it in terms, to reduce your debt.
Yes.
So that you have adequate amount of cash flow to meet the outflows from So deleveraging is a key term that is used in financial
investment. Yeah, if you're starting point, no, you must rise above that level to achieve the better result.
Okay, and with regards to saying how credit cards are dangerous in that kind of sense, with regards to, for example, banks looking at your credit history, when you have a credit card, you can be aware of yourself and then maintain a good credit history. And how important is that when the banks look at you for applying for a mortgage or something?
Yeah, it's a myth among a lot of young people. I've said, you know, if you use a credit card often, buy your good credit history is wrong.
Yeah.
Totally wrong.
Oh.
When you borrow more money using credit card, that means you don't have a money using third party money make a living.
Hmm.
Credit card is a vehicle where you do a shopping once a month, clear up, because rather than cash all the time, using credit card mean to buy shopping now, end of the month you paid off, you manage very well.
Yes.
If you buy a credit card, say $10,000, you only pay $1,000 paid. Again, another month, another $1,000 purchase. That means you are living on borrowed money. Bank looks at it, you are bad borrowers.
Mm.
You must be very careful using credit card.
Good. And so building on that, when banks look at you, what are some things that they'd be looking for in terms of what makes a good spender? So how should we be building our spending so that we'd be able to be approved?
If you use a credit card, buy clothing, shopping, not that many. And if I very often use a credit card, luxury item, that means you are overspending. And if you are not paying back your loan on the repayment on the within the interest-free period, that means you are bad borrowers.
Yeah.
And if you have $5,000 credit card, it's fine. Young people earning $50,000 got a $20,000 credit card limit, that's dangerous.
Yeah.
They're looking, why this person have $20,000 credit card? Then give me last 3 months bank statement, the checking. When I always see that, your palm tells you where you're going, your future going. Your credit, your bank statement tells you where you're spending the money.
Yep.
Very important.
Oh, that's a very good way to put it. Just a final question I wanted to ask. In terms of, obviously, credit history is something that banks normally check when they approve you.
Yes.
What other things do banks normally look at when you're, say, for example, taking a mortgage?
Very good question, Amit. What they're looking at, your saving history. They look at last 3 months bank statement, and in these days the bank asking where the money come from, because under the anti-money laundering law, you need to have to show the money. The bank looks at it last 3-4 months, where you going, what you spending. They look at your all the outgoing expenses. Quite easily can see it, you know, whether your money saving like a block building you're building over the period of time saving or not. If you could save it, the bank thinks you should be able to pay your mortgage. Banks are looking for to lend the money for to good saver. You have to demonstrate to lenders, I'm a good borrower, I'm not a good spender. If you show you're good spenders, probably the saint look likes you very much. Bank doesn't like that. Bank likes you, are you saving the money or not? Now look at it, yeah, I've saved money over the time. Even they stretch a bit, even though your limit extra, no, this person can manage the loan, they give extra for you. I've come across 5 or 10,000, no problem.
Nathan, just about spending and saving, there are savers and there are spenders.
Yes.
Is it true that perhaps it is the spenders who contribute more to the economy and make the economy grow more rather than the savers? Because if people don't go out and spend, the economy itself is going to come down, you know?
Yeah.
But if people spend, they buy a car, they don't have money to buy a car. Let's say earlier, if I didn't have capital to buy a car, I wouldn't buy a car. Now people, youngsters, are going out and buying a car with borrowed money. That's an accelerator for the economy itself. It's increasing their goals, and the car is going to last for a period of time, so their future earnings are paying for that car. So is debt bad?
There are two type debts in here. Good, very good question, actor. And two type debt. One is a bad debt and good debt. The bad debts are depreciating value. Whatever you buy, there's no future value. It's just gone. That's a bad debt. The debt you're buying, the future value increase over the period of time, is a good debt. They always back on good debt. Another question I ask you, spenders and borrowers, savers and spenders. Very good questions. One might say, if I don't spend, there's no economic growth. Economic growth doesn't matter what you spend, economy will grow. The biggest spender are the one who save the money a lot, and they spend it.
So are you saying that the savers contribute more to growth of economy?
Yes, they save the money and spend. They buy, spend more, the luxury item, because they save the money. They have a luxury to spend that money. If you go and borrow money, what are you going to spend? Little thing you buy here and there, that's not going to grow the economic growth.
I've seen a lot of people buying big cars and telephones and all that.
That is what they call it as dumb debt.
Yes.
Isn't it? It's called dumb debt. A dumb debt is something which is like an albatross around your neck.
Yeah.
It just hangs around there.
I think as long as you have, you assess your debt servicing capacity, you take enough debt so that you're able to service it with your future earnings.
So that's what I think Nathan is alluding to and saying, that if you have the savings with you, then you have the potential to spend. And when you actually spend, you're really spending big.
Yeah.
So you have a huge power. On that note, let's listen to this song.
Okay.
पुढे बाल्य जीविताचे होते मागून सदा देवाकडे
Difficult was it? Difficult? Why would it be difficult? Didn't you say you only had 10% deposit for your house?
10% is enough if Mortgage Masters is helping you with home loan.
Mortgage Masters can also help you with refinance or with any rental and commercial property related question. Contact Nathan Saminathan now, a certified financial planner and authorized financial advisor with over 30 years of experience in New Zealand. Call now on 0800-630-7171. Address 619 Dominion Road, Mount Eden. Or visit Mortgage Masters.
Roasted right here in Auckland. Everest Coffee use the highest quality Arabica AA coffee beans, giving you an elite blend of taste and strength. Treat yourself to the Wonder Coffee Bean. Enjoy Everest Coffee. It's for the discerning coffee palate. Everest Coffee. It's coffee at its peak. Available now at New World or buy online at everestcoffee.co.nz.
Well, you're listening to Nathan Swaminathan, Amir Lizan and Hector really stirred the pot, you know, at the last moment. You need to spin. Almost took us to the edge, Hector. We are discussing about financial planning, setting goals, budget, how to get a mortgage. Well, that's like straddling through your life as such. So there is a fag end of retirement is what you call, or in New Zealand there is no retirement. How do you plan for retirement, Nathan?
What I teach my clients, and of course the KiwiSaver is going to be vital role play, but not for the near retirement age. And what I teach my client, buy a house first, one property, and move later to buy maybe second property or third property. By the time, once the loan is paid, I teach the client how to pay back the loan faster, and then work on your second property, third property. If you're able to pay all the loan off, and retirement time, you have a house plus two rental property. Rental property bring another $800,000 income a week, plus your current retirement funding $12,000-$13,000, you can comfortably retire. That's what everybody should work on it. There, if you save the money and put away.
Can you repeat it, Nathan? Can you repeat it again?
What I'm saying to clients, when you work towards retirement, thinking about if you're either investing in property market, buy some investment property over the period of time, and pay off your home loan and the other two loan over the period of time. And then by the time retired, you should have one house plus two rental property mortgage free.
Okay.
Or you can afford to buy more property, buy it and sell off some of the property, retire all the debts you have, one plus two. Then you can easily, comfortable retirement life, you can have it. Not very luxurious. At least can pass on the children to the next generation.
So what sort of cash flows that you look for a retired couple?
Currently, at least, need at least, if you keep comfortable lifestyle, what we say, if you're earning about $1,000 before retirement, then you should need at least 60-70% of that money to retirement age.
Okay.
Everybody have a different lifestyle, no?
In addition to the super that you're going to
Yes.
Get. Okay.
At
okay.
least, on top of that, $500-$600 on super, your loan is completely paid off. You can have good lifestyle as well, reasonable.
I just had a quick question there, Nathan. When you're talking about getting a mortgage, one of the things that New Zealand allows, you can use your KiwiSaver funds you can withdraw your funds except for the government contribution. What's your take on that? I've heard a lot of opinions, you know, some say definitely do it, some say, you know, don't touch it, it's your retirement money, don't touch it. What's your take on that?
If you're a first-time buyer, of course, if you don't touch the money, grow rapid rate. No? If you have no other saving here, you should be able to dip the money as well. Even though you take that whatever money there, you put in a property, that money grows faster than KiwiSaver can grow. Very important. Because, you know, I said, if even 600, 500 on property buy, 5% increase in value is about $25,000. So you can able to use the KiwiSaver if you're a first-time buyer. I encourage the client, if you can it, bring the money just for the 10% deposit. Of course, you can put more deposit, interest will come down as well. Plus, your own saving, plus your mom and dad's contributions help you do. I always say, first thing, get into the ladder property market. If I will tell my client, if you want to take a 5-step, that's a long-term goal, take the 3-step first, the buyer property that can afford to buy and keep it a few years' time, 4 years' time, you sell the property and buy the property that you want to go for it. That's how you should. You don't take the bigger property one go, you struggle yourself. Mind you, we don't work for the bank. We work for our own lifestyle to increase our wealth, you know? Think about that. If you have a huge debt, probably you're working for the bank. You don't need it at all. Start small way and build up gradually over pretium, you achieve your goal.
And just
very
with
sound
yeah, no, okay. I agree. And just with regards to KiwiSaver, I do know that quite a lot of people are quite complacent when it comes to their KiwiSaver. They just know it's there and then just leave it and let it do its thing. What are some active steps people need to be aware of when managing their KiwiSaver?
Very good question, Liz. You know, when you're a KiwiSaver, look at where is the fund invested. If you're a younger person, you should go a bit aggressive investment. If your goal for saving money towards your property, then more conservative. After once you achieve your goal, and then move the funds more aggressive growth. Because by the time 50, 55, can go back a conservative. Mm. Conservative means less risk. Aggressive means higher risk, share market or the higher risk. But that's where the most money comes. Where do the wealthy people invest? They don't put the money in the bank. No. They invest. Mm. Remember I was saying 1% of New Zealand population holding 80% of wealth. If you're able to read what they're doing everyday life, the goal setting, very strong in mind, they'll focus what is next they can make money. How many people think of where they are going to spend money today? Which shop's going good food? That's what we are thinking about it. They think quite differently. If you want to financially sound, you have to, you must change, shift your paradigm, thinking differently. Then you can achieve your goal.
Nathan, we've just got a minute to go.
Yes, sir.
Okay. So you can shoot your last few questions or one question that sort of summarizes what Nathan is talking about. Anything, Amir?
For someone who's starting off, what do you think is the, like in a few words, what would be the best piece of advice you could give to young people in this climate?
Okay. Even one piece of advice to give young people, enjoy your life first, you know, but don't overindulge it. And put money in the long term for savings and plan your futures. If you can't plan, get advice from the elders, father and mother. They are good investors too. Or get hold some financial planners, advisor. Come and see us. We put in the right directions.
Thank you. Thank you, Nathan. Thank you, Amir. Thank you, Lizanne. And thank you, Hector.
Yeah. And thank you, Richard, too.
You want to stir the pot again? And go ahead and stir it again.
It was really a very interesting and informative discussion with you, Nathan, and it's been great to have you all youngsters over here.
Thank
Amir,
you for having us.
Yeah, thank you, Amir.
And our listeners for tuning in, as always.
Thank you.
You all are the reason why we keep going.
Thank you, Richard.
Thank you. Thank you, Nathan.
For the opportunity given to me to talk to you. Thank you. Thank you.
Don't go to search a chair.